understand what the problem is here.
With Carmichael Dave, Katie Christensen, and Nate Goodyear.
New morning, team.
Put the top down. Rev your engine.
Say, what goes on this morning?
Welcome to the drive.
I don't know if I want to say, wow, I really respect that about you, or if I want to say, gosh, that is so stupid.
Come on, man. Wake the up. The drive.
He needs to shut his mouth.
Here we go with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
That keg is almost tapped.
Yeah.
And they're going to get every last drop out of it.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios. Coors Light, with great beer comes great responsibility. Now the drive continues with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
Hey, speaking of the Sacramento Republic, they're right back at it Saturday hosting the LA Galaxy Deuce. This Saturday, too.
Also.
Hey, starting at 8 p.m., Bonnie Field. Purchase tickets for the match. Hey, at SacRepublicFC.com.
I'm rooting for them.
Root for the Republic?
Mm-hmm.
Atta babe.
I am.
Atta babe.
Missy the cow. Missy the cow.
I love Missy the cow.
Yeah. Was she the first one that got the mad cow disease?
No.
No, she got
that
annoyed.
That was a good guess, though.
Annoyed cow.
Missy the cow is the world's most expensive cow ever.
What?
She was sold in 2009 for $1.2 million at the Royal Agriculture Winter Fair. I'm assuming that's in Britain somewhere.
That sounds like a fun place to hang out.
Wow.
$1.2 million. Yeah, it's not like stud fees.
Hold
like
on
for
a second.
Our,
great
for
point
our,
right there.
Our,
yeah.
You know, horse that now just gets to enjoy life and make a ton of freaking cash.
I mean, do you have like any context to that? Is it like gold milk or something?
Mm.
There's no gold milk.
Yeah, poops out thinking, magic beans.
Right. Like, when she says that, you know, I'm thinking, well, how much do those Wagyu beefs go for? Those Wagyu cows? Yeah, that's the expensive
Wagyu?
Stuff. Yeah, that's like the big expensive beef at the steakhouses is the Wagyu. They're like raised. Wagyu.
Wagyu meat?
They're raised in Japan and like fed flower petals and massaged. And, you know,
all the good stuff.
They have massage chairs. And
I mean, livestock is not cheap as it is. Sure. I mean, like if you go buy yourself a whole cow, it's not going to be cheap, but like $1.2 million.
That's a lot. There's something with Missy.
What is
it just for milk?
Or
are you butchering it? Like, are you trying to get food?
No, well,
out of that?
I mean, you don't butcher heifers.
So there you go.
Oh, really?
You butcher steers.
Oh, yeah.
Now, do you know the difference between a steer and a bull?
One's got a cow dong. I mean, I'm just asking.
Isn't one
a dude?
One of them was part of my Rocky Mountain oyster breakfast at home at the ranch.
Oh, God. No, gross. No. Don't. Missy the cow is a Holstein
one
cow.
One of them used to be a boy. That's
the 2009.
They're still a boy.
Well, I mean, yeah, but like.
Guys.
Go ahead.
2009 became the then current most expensive cow in the world, auctioned for $1.2 million. Missy's a 3-year-old black and white Holstein cow from Canada that sold it. Like you said, the purchase made her the most expensive cow in the world, fifth cow in the world, and second in Canada to have been sold for over $1 million. Saying, quote, she's the most valuable young cow in the world right now, one of the top show cows in North America. She was also the grand champion of the 2009 Western Fall National Show. 2011, she was named the Supreme Grand Champion of all breeds at the World Dairy Expo in Madison, Wisconsin.
I'm sorry, is that like the Miss America or the Miss Universe of the livestock industry?
Yeah, they take a stroll.
Is there a bikini portion of this show? Does Missy have a nice bikini
body? Weird
bikini.
I mean, that's a lot of nipples to cover. I don't know. It still doesn't really tell you. I guess because she's a damn show. What the hell is a show cow?
I don't know.
And could you bury
That's even more worthless than a normal cow.
Thank you.
Like, we're talking about an animal that would have been phased out by evolution, like, centuries ago.
Her genetic material will now be used to help improve the breeding of the Holstein breed. Maybe that's what it is.
Genetic material?
Her real name is Eastside Louisdale Gold Missy.
Missy.
Born in Pinoca, Alberta.
Wow. We're
Canada.
Full of cow facts.
That's the exchange rate.
Cow Thursday.
Here's Draymond Green. I have a love very much. I have no.
A love hate.
I have a like hate rule. I don't think I love Draymond Green, but there's parts of me that enjoy the story.
Well, according to our text line, I just absolutely, you know, hate the guy.
You can't stand him.
Oh, yeah. Worst person on the planet.
Here's one of my favorite things about Draymond Green.
Number one, Anthony Davis. Number two, Michael Kidd Gilchrist.
Okay, so just for context, because I thought they'd lead into it, this is Draymond Green, who was a second round pick.
34th overall.
Asked, hey, do you remember any of the guys picked ahead of you? And here's what he said.
Number one, Anthony Davis. Number two, Michael Kidd Gilchrist. Number three, Brad Beal. Number 4, Deion Waiters. Number 5, Thomas Robinson. Number 6, Damian Lillard. 7, HB. 8 was Terrence Ross. 9 was Andre Drummond. 10 was Austin Rivers. 11 was Myers Leonard. 12 was Jeremy Lamb. 13 was Kendall Marshall. 14 was John Henson. 15 was Mo Harkless. 16 was Royce White. 17 was Tyler Zeller. 18 was Terrence Jones. 19 was Andrew Nicholson. 20 who had the 20th pick? Evan Fournier. 21 was Fab Melo. 22, Jared Sullinger. 23, John Jenkins. 24, who had the 24th pick? 24. John Jenkins went 24. Let me see. Okay, so Tony Roden was 25. So 24 was, they went, that was the traded pick from Cleveland. Dallas got the pick, Jared Cunningham.
Oh, my God.
25 was Tony Roden. 26 was Miles Plumlee. 27 was Arnett Moultrie. 28, Perry Jones. 29, T. 30, Festus. 31 was Jeff Taylor. No. Yeah. 31, Jeff Taylor. 32, Thomas Satoransky. 33, Bernard James. And 34 was, no, 33. Yeah, 33 was Bernard James. And 34 was Jay Crawford.
He was 35. He went 35. Yeah, he knows every single name. And this is what's
nuts, but is that worth admiring? I mean, honestly,
yes,
like,
I know what
just
you're saying, but
bitter
yes.
jerk is yes. what he is.
He's got a chip on his shoulder. I can't hate him for that.
I love that we, like, admire these things in athletes that make you a total D-bag in any other
Why?
Walk of life. Michael Jordan was a psychopath, okay?
Yes.
But we love him because he was so competitive. The guy was a jerk. It's like there's no question. Draymond, like, people that carry around chips on their shoulders like that are obnoxious people. Dave, we worked with one, for crying out loud. Okay? We know people like this.
Yes.
They're awful to be around.
But the difference is one is successful and one is a failure. And I think that people admire success.
Yeah.
I'm not indifferent to what you're saying.
I think it's a funny dynamic because I get it. I understand what you're saying. I'm on board with it. It's just weird to me that you're absolved of all a-holery because you're successful as an athlete.
That is 100% inaccurate what you're saying. That yes, I admire that I love that he's a second. I like underdogs. We all love underdogs. And that's a chip he carries around that helps motivate him.
You like underdogs that remind you they're an underdog constantly?
But that being said, I started the whole thing by saying I have a hate relationship with him. I like that part of him, but it in no way absolves the fact that he's a douche.
I think
on the floor.
It's amazing that he can do that. And I'm not even talking about from the sense of like whether he's a D-bag and we're talking about sports. I think I have like 14 or 15 nieces and nephews. I can't remember how many, and I can't always remember all of their
names. Do you remember
names.
Everybody who was drafted ahead of you?
No, shoot. There was 39 people ahead of me.
Right, see?
I can't even, there was 12
I can name
there was
everybody
12 of us.
That was drafted ahead of me the year I came
what
out.
Year were you, what year
every
were you drafted?
2002.
Okay.
There was 12 of us that made a final roster that year. I can't even tell you who those 12 people are other than myself.
Are you pulling it up?
Maybe.
Oh, Lord.
Maybe.
This is pointless. But you know
no,
what?
I don't think it's pointless.
It is.
Pointless at all.
In terms of Draymond Green, like, I think it's amazing that he can do that. And there's part of it, it's like he even knew the draft, like, which teams had those picks. So it's like you talk about motivation. Is he motivated when he faces all those other teams, which is about every other team in the league that picked, you know, somebody else before him? Shoot, is he mad at his own team because they did? Was it the Warriors that picked Festus Ezeles?
Festus. Yeah. Like, is Harrison he rubbing Barnes, in those guys' faces every day?
But
like, every time Harrison Barnes misses a shot or Draymond stuffs him in a drill, he's just like, hey, 35 overall pick there, number 8.
Yeah.
But here's the difference, though. When you were rolling around playing for the Mercury, if you ever went up against Sondra Jackson,
who's that?
She was drafted
right
one spot
ahead
of Katie Christensen.
She didn't make a team.
Oh, that's right. Oh, you know what? All the people in red didn't make a team. Okay, if you were playing for the Mercury and Dragana Slavcheva was playing for the Sparks, you weren't like, all right, Dragana, you're going down, lady.
Don't know who she is. Don't think she ever played.
Lindsay Yamasaki. Andrea Gardner.
Lindsay Yamasaki was, I believe she was Stanford, wasn't she?
Yep.
She didn't play for very long in the league either.
Hom Chitou Midas. She played for the Monarchs. I remember her.
Yeah.
How about Zuzi Klimasova?
Yeah. Nothing? Zuzi.
I don't think she ever played either. I'm
trying here.
Indiana Fever. We would have had Katie. So that never bothered you?
No.
You didn't look at all the teams that
passed
you up.
Stuck with her.
Did
all
I ever
these
tell
years?
You guys the story about the day that the final rosters were made?
No.
Like, okay, this is like weird. I honestly didn't know how things worked. Like, you go through training camp and there's cuts made, you know, gradually there's a cut day, like, you know, so on and so forth. Final day of training camp, and I show up and, you know, we're getting into practice and stuff like that. And like, I remember turning to one of the veterans on our team and I was like, dude, when do I find out, like, if I made the final cut? She's like, you're here, aren't
you?
You
did.
See?
Like, they didn't even say, like, anything.
You're on the team, aren't you?
You're here, aren't you?
We got friggin' okay. Rube Baker over here. I made the rooster!
Well, Nate Goodyear may not have been very impressed with Draymond Green. Steph Curry on the other
hand. I was very surprised because I was a 7th pick, and I sometimes forget one of those just for a second and then have to remember. But for him to do 34...
Yes.
I think that was it. Then he got asked about the Uber. LeBron James asked about what he cares about, said this is what he cares about.
What I care about is being fortunate to be a part of this league. Same. I have no sense of entitlement to be in this league. This is a fraternity, and for me to even be a part of the 400-plus guys that we have in our league, I think it's an honor, and that's what I focus on.
After game 6 versus the Raptors, he said a few things. Here's LeBron clarifying.
That's not a new mindset. I think people have taken it a little further than where it should be. I had something it was a feeling I was after we won game 6 in Toronto, and that's how I was feeling at that moment. I'm back to my usual self. I'm no longer appreciating what I've been able to do.
Do you guys remember when LeBron was asked about the MVP? And he said, he talked about the difference between most valuable player and best all around. And he made some comments, and it seemed like it might have annoyed Steph a little bit. People made a big deal about his MVP comments. Here's LeBron clarifying that as well.
I made the mistake by even answering the question because I knew where it was going to go. And I guarantee that how it was phrased to Steph wasn't how I answered the question. So obviously his reaction was what it was. Steph was definitely the MVP of our league and is an MVP in our league and is a great basketball player. And what he does for this league is amazing.
So here we go with the ramp up, guys, where everyone loves everyone. Mm-hmm. Everyone's complimentary. They're a great team.
I wish basketball was like the UFC and boxing.
Where they just started. You know, I kind of tend to agree with you.
Like, once you're to the finals, guess what? I encourage you guys to stand toe-to-toe in the media availability and just rip each other.
Or at least find a layer there. I mean, LeBron's coming at it pretty thick.
Don't make it a love fest, going into the
boilerplate speak right there. Yeah. He's like super, like you can still be generic and have a little something to it. Oh, you know, he's a really good player. What he's done for this league is amazing. And I'm one of the lucky 400.
The closest we're going to get on that is Draymond Green. Here he is talking about the Cavs being healthy.
With them having all their guys, they're obviously, you know, a better team. But we've always felt that if we play our brand of basketball, go out and do the things that we know that it takes to win, we don't really care who anyone else puts on the floor.
And now we're back to good with him.
Right? I mean,
simple. I guess what? Y'all are better, but it don't matter.
Well, certainly Steve Kerr is going to talk some serious trash. Here he is breaking down the series.
We have to be ready to cover a lot of the floor. They have 3-point shooting bigs with Fry and Love, so we can't lose sight of them. But that's what this series seems to be about. Both teams are shooting a lot of threes and trying to run, and it'll be a very difficult defensive matchup for both teams.
Yeah, shots fired.
What about Uncle? Who's Kyrie Irving? Uncle Drew.
Fester?
No,
it is Uncle Drew.
Okay, I'm sorry. Uncle Drew on the Warriors. Certainly, he's going to lay it down.
As a professional, I understand that. You know, whatever happens, you can sometimes just out of your control, but. The Warriors did what they, what they could. They won the championship last year, and now we come in and now two evenly healthy teams, and number one in Eastern Conference and Western Conference respectively. And this is what it's about. So I'm excited for the challenge and going out there and competing.
It's a skill.
Katie's not going to need a nap this afternoon.
It's a skill.
I'm already sleeping.
It is absolutely a skill. When you think about, we go back to Durant's comments on free agency. Remember how you said, well, he really didn't say anything. And then all these guys, they're not saying anything.
Is it that much of a skill? Because here's the thing. Like, it even is. Going back.
It's okay, a discipline, like, I think, is a better
discipline.
Way
to put it. Because you do have to still be a somewhat articulate sure. to be able to get those things out. But, like, Katie, for example, when you first went to UCSB, mm-hmm. like, you sat down with an SID and they told
sports
you.
Sports information right, director.
Yeah, I'm sorry, with a sports information SID. Director. And, I know, I'm sorry. and they tell you, like, if you get nervous in an interview, deflect it back on your teammates. Like that, you know, they give sure. you little things. Or like, if there's any doubt about answering a question, here's what you go to. My teammates are great. I'm very fortunate. Blah. Like they give
Guess
you.
Guess what? In my entire playing career, at every level, I never sat down with anyone and
never?
Had to be told how to talk to the media. Ever.
Really?
Man. Never.
Well, he's got those UC kids. They do it a little bit differently at the state.
No, I mean, I think that throughout college, you kind of get a little bit. Of it anyway. I think usually in college.
Yeah, my ass, you've never had to interview a senior that can't put three words together but can hit a baseball 400 feet.
You know what? There's some people, and there you see it at the NBA level too. There's some people that can speak well, mm-hmm. and there's some people that are complete morons.
You're right. I'm just being a bitter turd this morning.
You
Move
are.
On to something
but that's
good.
Why I like you, Nate.
Andre Iguodala.
We need that on the show.
Andre Iguodala is going to save the day. He's going to be guarding LeBron James most likely throughout much, if not all, of the series. And he is absolutely fired up, and he had a few things to say about LeBron.
Every player's main thinking is trying to do your job as best possible to help the team win. So, you know, no matter if it's guarding him or we switch it up and I have to guard Kyrie, and knowing the scouting report, knowing how to adjust, just being there for my teammates and knowing that we can trust one another. It's going to be an interesting matchup, and I think both teams are looking forward to it.
Yeah, you really are doing well with this, though, Dave. I mean, you're trying.
In your face, LeBron. Like, what's LeBron going to say now? That's what I want to know.
How do you come back from that?
Exactly.
Do we have any sound from, like, J.R. Smith talking about laying pipe or something like that? Anything okay. to make this interesting.
Well, as usual, Katie, sometimes you jump ahead in the agenda and you go all the way to the end with the big payoff.
Oh.
Fine. Here's J.R. Smith.
That's usually your job.
Finally.
Jumping the gun.
Finally. Hey now. Finally, here's J.R. Smith talking a little trash.
I used to be a guy who my product of my work was pretty much on how I shot the ball. And I try not to be that person anymore. Whether I'm making shots or missing shots, define what I can do on the court. So, I mean, I appreciate the praises from Coach Lou and my teammates and everybody else, but the job isn't done yet. And I got a hell of a task of guarding Clay and whoever else, so I'm up for it.
Wait, oh my God.
Drop the mic, J.R. Smith.
Oh, you ever seen Magnolia where at the very end all the toads start raining out of the sky?
No.
I'm half expecting that to start happening.
Isn't that something? Isn't that a biblical thing?
Yeah,
where the toads fall?
Because the world is clearly going to end.
Yes.
We have lost J.R. Smith,
apocalyptic,
you guys.
Right now.
You thought Dre Green would be the one to talk trash? You thought maybe Iguodala would get in there? Certainly J.R. Smith.
J.R. Smith.
You know the guy nobody thought would insult the other team,
stop
give him
doing
more material.
Stop
the
it.
One guy, Ty Lue, right? Nope, Ty Lue's close. What about little Kev? Of all people, Kevin loves the guy that gives him the bulletin board material.
This is a team that'll make you pay in a lot of different ways. And maybe you're ready for anything. And, I think as a team, we made the next step in trusting each other on both ends.
Savage!
All right, I'm done.
Just brutal. Just brutal. Hey. Pick up your face, girl. That's right, Warriors. Your face called. It's at soccer practice, and it's over because it's time to pick it up.
You know, when you think about
it,
Katie had... what if we just all talk, like on a regular... You know what? That rock station over there, they've got a good morning show that's been around a long time. You know, they do great in the ratings. I got to be honest. I mean, they're phenomenal. They're just phenomenal. We got a tough job here at the sports station trying to get into that top
and
five, top three.
And you know what? We're lucky to be, you know, part of a small group of people that can have a morning show. So.
One of the three here, I'd say. Very fortunate.
Right.
Yes, yeah.
What if that just happened in all of life? Like, I go home. I did not, let's say it's my night to make dinner. And I know I'm going to get into it with my wife. Somebody puts a mic in my face. Honestly, I'm the one who dropped the ball here. When she gets home, she has every right to do what she does. She works hard. She takes care of the kids. She does everything right. And honestly, I'm just lucky to be in this marriage. She. Well, I don't want to say shoulder the load because we're taking things out of context here today.
Listen, yeah, we aim a little higher on this show.
Right, Jay. Thank you. Yeah. But again, I'm just happy to be in this marriage, and the good Lord willing, I can help the family. Next question, please. That'd be great. We go into negotiations when our contracts are up with the boss. You know, I'll take a raise, honestly, but either way, I just want to stay here at KHDK. I'm happy here. It's great. I'm just lucky to be able to use my key every day. Ah! Katie brought up a great point earlier, and it's been marinating in my head a little bit. How much better would the ratings be if Kevin Love just came out and goes, you know what? These Warriors are bitches. Okay, let's just be honest. We all hate them. We all hate them.
Listen, we watched Draymond Green go below the belt twice.
Thank you. He's a dirty player. Guys. Steph Curry, that little short round. Screw you, your dumbass kid. I don't want to see either of you anymore. We're just going to go in here and punk you and put our fist down your throat.
I mean, you guys are talking about Andy Varejao. We didn't even want that guy.
What if that happened?
Good enough for our team.
Exactly. And you say this, you beat us last year, and you may have had the record, but you also just lost three games to the freaking Thunder. Who does that?
We pick our teeth with the Thunder.
You got us last year. We weren't healthy. So guess what? We're about to kill you. We're about to beat you down. We're about to make you look like the little girls that you are. Like something.
Yeah.
Somebody.
Girls.
Jeez.
See, don't take that
sack
out of context
up,
either.
Guys.
Yeah, just...
Women talk more trash than this. Seriously. And we do it in a very nice, passive-aggressive way.
Sure you do.
Post-it notes at the press conference.
Well, you know what? And I got to be honest. She is fantastic. Going up against her is going to be difficult. It's amazing what she does, especially carrying around all that extra weight. We'll come back and give you...
And she's a dirty player, and I'm talking about not showering.
We'll come back. That's aggressive-aggressive, though. Aggressive-aggressive.
No one ever said she tastes like honey nut. Sure.
Okay, we're going to break. We'll come back with our predictions. It's the Drive. Sports 1140 KHD. We got to get to our finals predictions now. This is what's weird about sometimes. It's great and weird sometimes doing a show in your hometown. I just got this email during the break. I'll save the guy's name. It's a very nice email. I grew up in Carmichael and lived in the same house for 16 years with my parents. My parents are a little bit older now. They moved over to Sun City, and my childhood home has been sold. Dear Dave, I'm the new owner of your childhood house. My neighbor, Austin, says you grew up here. It's a great place, good neighbors and all. We're putting a lot into making it home. You may want to come over and check it out sometime. Do you have any old pictures of your house?
Aww. That's pretty cool.
It's a cool email. It's a sweet email.
That's cute.
But is it weird that part of me is like, get out of my house.
Hey, it's my house.
Like, did he leave the one rail unpainted that had my sister and I measured from like 3 years old? Every family, I think, has that, the whatever that's called, the growth tree where your mom makes pencil marks inside where you grow and the date next to it.
What do you think? One up you.
And Katie's is like 6 foot two.
I'm gonna one up you on this. The home that my dad grew up in, like his family owned a ranch over in Cedarville. The home that he grew up in still has the bullet hole through the ground on the second floor. His bedroom was on the second floor. He shared it with his brother, Fletcher. And
that's awesome.
Fletcher Christensen. Randall and Fletcher were...
Yes.
Sounds like
and, can you go by Fletch, please?
The bullet hole is still there. He was cleaning the gun, and my grandma was vacuuming downstairs. And when the gun went off, the vacuum cleaner shut off. And my dad didn't come out of his room for hours and thought he killed his mother.
Oh, my God.
Bullet hole's still there, folks. This is why now, fast forward to 2016.
Don't put hillbillies in a two-story house.
Ding, 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 ding,
this
ding,
is
ding,
why
ding,
now
ding.
They have things called gun safes and taking your bullets out of guns. Mm-hmm. Yes, all kinds of things.
Fletch. Oh, Fletcher.
Randall and Fletcher.
Yep.
6 o'clock.
Herding tigers in Vegas.
Hopefully no guns involved. 6 o'clock tonight, Warriors hosting the Cavaliers. out at Oracle Coliseum. So how do we break this down, guys? Cleveland cruised through the Eastern Conference. Yeah. Cleveland took the Warriors to 6 games last year with LeBron James and his band of merry men with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love on the bench. He took them to 6.
And that hack David Blatt.
Although the Warriors, thank you, won 73 games this year, they're dealing with maybe he's healthy, maybe he's not, Steph Curry. They almost lost to the Thunder, went down 3-1. They've had more adversity this year than they did last year. If he took them to six games without 1.5 All-Stars, shouldn't the Cavs be, if not favored, at least right there? But for some reason, I'm having trouble selling that.
I see seven games for the Warriors. And a lot of it is because this being Kevin Love's first actual trip, healthy, to the finals, where he's going to have to play a big role, I think he struggles. And I think it ends up being a lot more, not by virtue of injury, but by virtue of performance, a lot more of what we saw last year, which is LeBron having to do the heavy lifting. And I think they will get just enough out of Kyrie and Kevin Love to get one more win. But ultimately, I'm not counting out the Warriors anymore. They were down 3-1. They had a stupid, ridiculous comeback in three games that they did in a stupid, ridiculous way. Klay Thompson going dumb, you know, Steph Curry being an MVP, those type of things. It's seven-game series for me, and it's the Warriors.
I think it's a seven-game series, and I also picked the Warriors. But the biggest crazy prediction I'm going to give you for this series, I don't see any blowout games, which we saw all the way through the playoffs. And I'm saying this because I'm praying to God this is the case, right? I don't see any, because there were swings on both sides, even in the Eastern Conference Finals. The wins were kind of blowouts. Even when Toronto won at home, they were you know, kind of blowout games. I don't see blowout games. I think this is going to be one hell of a battle for this entire series.
What's your prediction?
I said Warriors in seven.
Warriors in seven.
David.
You've got Warriors
so
in seven, too,
this
David?
Means that you're automatically going to go with the Cavaliers. Is that what you call them?
I got my Cavalier right here. He's like the ladies' man.
Vincent Cavalier. There was a hockey player named that.
Cavalier.
So I've said a few times that I always root for the underdog. I root for the small city. I very, very much would like to see Cleveland win. Yeah. This is nothing against the Warriors. Cleveland does not have a championship. I would like to see them get a championship.
Fairness, you said this the entire playoffs.
Yeah. I like that idea. And the fact that, and obviously my prediction is not going to be the same as you guys, the fact that LeBron James and the Cavs, we talked about it with Miami Heat. Remember the first year he went to the Heat and he had Bosch and he had Wade playing and they still lost in the finals. And then the following year they did win. It usually takes a year to get these teams together, chemistry and all that good stuff. But here's the thing. I think LeBron James is the greatest player in the world. I think he is a better all-around player than Steph Curry, and I don't really see an argument there. There is, but it's tough for me when you take offense, defense, passing, rebounding, everything into...
And physical size.
Thank you. And it's not Steph's fault.
No.
Steph maximizes his talents probably more than anybody in the world.
Most prolific, most electrifying.
Sure.
I mean, the list goes on and on.
I think LeBron's the best player in the world. And I'm going to go a little different here. I think one of the reasons why the Cavaliers took the Warriors to six games last year is because Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love were hurt. Because that forced the Cavaliers to completely ride on the shoulders of the best player in the world. I think when you have all-stars playing on the same team as you, you have to defer. You have to move the ball. You have to let them get theirs. And I weirdly don't think the Cavs are as good with those two in a seven-game series as I do if LeBron James is shouldering the entire load.
Okay, so then you don't think that at any point we're going to have two or three signature LeBron games where he gives you the 40 points and a triple-double and just absolutely takes over?
Maybe. No. I think I could see 40 points and a triple-double in a loss.
Okay.
I think the Warriors are going to win the series, and I think the Warriors are going to win the series in five.
You think five?
I don't think this is going to be a good series. I think that
you're basically, what I'm hearing you say is that LeBron James is too passive to have those guys on his team and still be able to compete at that high level.
Yes, and I think LeBron James has said that before himself. I think LeBron has said he enjoys distributing the ball. He enjoys getting everybody involved.
But that's
because he's like one of the only superstars
being...
that is put off by the fact that people make comments about him taking the game on his back.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's all fine, but there's this implication there that when it really got down to it, that I mean, I think LeBron is still going to make the best basketball decision, right? Whether that's deferring in a big moment or whatever. But I just don't see him letting things get by if he can help it.
I don't think he's going to hide.
I'm not okay with the implication that he becomes more passive with more guys on his team and that's going to affect his production.
I don't think he's going to hide. I don't think he's going to defer to the point of just simply deferring because everybody needs their touches. I think last year he didn't have a basketball decision to make. Let's go back to last year.
It's pretty tough to do everything and coach your team.
Let's go back to last year and let's remember the sheer.
Yeah, but he's always been the same guy. Sure. Like it's not like I mean he yeah I'm with you a little bit, but I didn't see him like forcing shots last year. He was carrying a heavier load, but yes. he's still going to defer to his teammates.
Do you remember last year the sheer awe we had when we looked at the minutes he played, the amount of time he touched the ball? And how he damn near single-handedly. I mean, we had some fun with Matthew Dellavedova for two games and guarding Steph Curry, but it was really all LeBron all the time. And remember him, you know, whether it was theatrics or not, on his knees at the end of the game, completely exhausted. I actually believe that. Maybe I'm a sucker. Mm-hmm. That he gave. I think that's where they're at the best is when it's all LeBron. I don't think the depth of the Cavaliers can compete with the depth of the Warriors, and I think the Warriors played their worst series against the Thunder. That's just what I think. I'd like to see the Cavs win. I'm rooting for the Cavs. But in the end, I really think this series is going to be a letdown, unfortunately. And if it was a sweep, it wouldn't shock me. They played two games this year.
Wow.
Won by 40.
Yeah, but I'll say this, Dave. Cleveland is a completely different team in terms of how they are playing the game since they faced the Warriors during the regular season.
Sure, and we'll see if that turns around tonight. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll finish up the show. It's a Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.
Your boyfriend don't like me. I can't blame him, but why you trying to be just like me? It's kind of lame, huh?
Real quick. I don't wanna be your man. So we have... Nate, you said, I believe, Warriors in seven?
Seven.
Katie, you said Warriors in seven?
I said seven.
I said Warriors in five. Nate, pick a number between 1 and 10.
Seven.
Katie?
Pick a number between 1 and 10?
Yeah.
I would have picked seven, Nate. Okay, Why did he get to go first? I'm the lady.
Because he's the guy.
Okay, because he's the guy.
I don't know.
Because we're doing this by weight, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know who I'd take.
I'm going to pick five.
Five. The answer was one. Okay, oh, so because you guys were both going back and forth about who was going to pick the MVP of the series. Maybe you had the same one. So, Katie, you win the draw. Who's your MVP?
I'm going to go with Draymond Green.
Okay.
Draymond Green.
That's not crazy.
Nate Goodyear.
This one is a little bit more crazy, but I think along the lines of Andre Iguodala, I'm taking Harrison Barnes.
Really?
I'm oh, my God. So when we were talking about it outside, I was like, oh, yeah, some idiot's going to pick Harrison
It'll
Barnes.
Be this idiot.
You picked Harry
It'll
B.
Be this idiot.
In a contract
Harry
year.
B.
Yeah. I mean, why not? It's a contract year. I think he's got, you know, I thought he, I liked some of the things he was able to do against them last year. Mm-hmm. And as far as like, looking for a dude that if Steph or Clay, maybe it's not fallen or maybe the Cavs have something good going. Harrison Barnes can score on you in a lot of ways. He creates a matchup issue. He can go with his back to the basket. He can beat you off the dribble. He's got a pull-up jumper when he's playing well. So
Who's his matchup? Who's his matchup?
Iguodala didn't need to start.
Well, he started a lot of games last year, though.
You don't need to start. Yeah, Jay, get out of my face. He's not even going to start.
Throw down.
What do you think this is?
All right, I got Klay Thompson.
Might not average 5 points this series.
Yeah, but he might average 25.
You got Klay.
I'll take Klay Thompson. Mama call him Klay, I'm going to call him Klay.
You guys
Klay
are
Thompson.
Taking the easy ones here.
So, did you, just to clarify, you picked the Warriors
I picked
as
the Warriors in five.
Okay.
Yeah, the Warriors in five and Klay Thompson. Nate, you have the Warriors in seven and Harrison Barnes. Katie, you have the Warriors in seven and Draymond Green.
Meanwhile, Nate turns around and gives me the death stare.
Glaring.
Meanwhile, Steph Curry and Andre Iguodala are like, okay, Drive. All right, I see you out there. That's
yeah.
cool.
You know what? They're too busy answering questions
Let them
about
do
Uber.
It. I just want to make sure that it's justified when the Kings throw a ridiculously large contract at Harrison Barnes this summer.
They won't have any room because they're going to spend it all on Ryan Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
They're spending all their money. Newsflash. There's no drama here. The Kings are spending all their money on Ryan Anderson. They'll throw like a dollar at Harrison Barnes just to see if he takes it. A little baseball before we go. Here's You know who Ron Fowler is, Nate? Who's Ron Fowler? San Diego Padres.
Yeah, I believe he's the executive something or other. Yes. He's the boss. He's the dude in charge of the Padres.
Here he is talking about his team. You know, we talked about wishing that people would just speak their minds. Well, here's old Ronnie Fowler. And I think it's safe to say, yeah, he probably spoke his mind.
Well, it's been embarrassing. I don't know how else to put it. I think our performance on the road trip, 1-7, is pathetic. I'm a very competitive individual. I think I've won a lot more than I've lost in my life. This baseball experience has been very frustrating, very embarrassing.
Well, hold on. What about James Shields?
To have a starter like Shields perform as poorly as he did yesterday, I think is an embarrassment to the team, an embarrassment to him.
Yeah. Wait, hold on, but overall, what are you saying, Ron?
We thought we'd be at least a 500 baseball team, and we're anything but. I'd like to break through 400 and stay above 400 in terms of winning percentage. But it's very frustrating. Some days you just want to stay in bed and pull the covers over your head, but that doesn't get it done. And we've got a lot of people working very hard to make this come together, I think, and the other aspects of the team in terms of the ballpark or the fan experience and such, we've done well. But as to the winning and losing, we've been miserable failures so far. There's no other way to describe it.
Let him have it, Ron.
Yeah. Hold anything back?
You know how he said that there's some days that he just doesn't want to get out of bed and just stay in there and pull the covers over his head?
This one of those days for you?
This is probably going to be one of those days for him after all those comments.
Oops. I thought you were bringing that back home to yourself.
No,
okay.
No. I mean, I appreciate his candor.
Yes.
But I think when you're an executive, that is things that need to be said behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I think it's a damn shame as an executive that you're admitting publicly that you just wanted your team to be a 500 team. That actually makes you a miserable failure if that's what you're aiming for.
I would say so.
Maybe they're rebuilding, though.
Yeah.
Right. With Matt Kemp and Justin Upton and James Shields.
Guess what? Yeah. A lot of people are rebuilding in all professional sports, and do you think their executives come out and say, hey,
no,
we're rebuilding, we just want to be 500. No, right. They lie. They lie and say, hey, we want to try and sneak into the playoffs.
So right. You want the guy that lies? You want the guy that's straight up?
Well, I can tell you, it's not about lying or being straight up in this situation. Mm-hmm. It's about the fact that, like, what he's saying here, because he also brought up guaranteed contracts, if you heard that. He says, in baseball, with guaranteed contracts, we got to get through it. But he's okay with the coaching staff in the front office, so he's saying, like, listen, dude, us, we're doing fine.
Sure.
It's those moron players that aren't earning their money.
Yeah.
Okay? Maybe there's just something to the idea that an executive that is this detached from the proper method of communicating with your organization, like maybe that has something to do with the fact that you're losing. My guess is, because they went to James Shields and asked him about that afterwards, and he's basically like, I'm a professional baseball player, rough outing, I'm not embarrassed by it.
Right.
You know, this is baseball, this is what happens.
So who do you think gets fired first?
Oh, this guy.
Fowler or Andy Green?
yeah, I mean, this dude, I mean, this is just not, I don't know, that's not how you do it. So,
just up the road, there's a team called the LA Dodgers who have a player named Clayton Kershaw who is not a miserable failure at all. He was asked yesterday about pitchers celebrating after strikeouts.
We're supposed to get guys out. You know what I mean? It's hard to hit. So, I think in big situations, big key outs, you know, there's going to be some excitement and some emotion that comes out. But, I mean, you know, after every strikeout, if you're dancing around, it's probably a little much.
Yeah, but the follow-up question to that is then, how do you feel about guys celebrating? Because he said he gave my number one argument for guys with the bat flip right there, which is pitchers are supposed to get guys out, and they do the majority of the time. Like, even at his worst, a pitcher's getting dudes out 70% of the time. That's a bad pitcher, and he's still successful 70% of the time. So the follow-up is, all that being said, when a guy gets you, Clayton, and he wants to let someone know about it, how do you feel?
Well, he didn't like it. He said, no, you know, screw it. Mm-hmm. Clayton Kershaw, mm-hmm. You take one of the ribs.
You know what?
You know, I have a good reason why Ron Fowler might not get fired, by the way.
He owns the team.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
fired. Guess what? So did what's his name down in L.A. with the Clippers. He owned the team too. In essence, he got fired.
those violations are the same.
We'll break down those connections tomorrow.
Absolutely.
A lot to unpack from that. Katie, we'll see you Monday.
Yes.
And go get them up there, home
Thank
and brave.
You.
In case you get bored of your family, why don't you join the rest of the KHDKs this Saturday at the Draft Inside Arena Softball, 8288 Industrial Avenue in Roseville. Great food and drink specials, free batting cages and field play, all for a $10 cover. Our very own Uriah Faber taking on Dominic Cruz. For more info, visit arenasoftball.com. For Nate Goodyear, for Jay Johnson behind the glass, Katie Christensen, all three-day work week herself. Why did anybody give her crap, by the way?
Hey, how about the fact that the Lowdown hasn't been on air for like 10 days?
Good for them.
That's right.
Right?
What, y'all ain't taking the vacation time?
No, you're just, I mean, I don't.
Shots fired.
Don't give me flack for going to my oldest nephew's freaking high school graduation.
He's 32.
I know him. It's
bitter.
Impressive.
Just wait till I start taking days off this summer. Dang, 19 vacation days a year. Happens every time. But it's your Katie, so nobody's gonna give you crap.
Yeah.
You're Katie Christensen, niece of Fletcher. All right, that's it. Jim Rome is next. It's The Drive. It's Sports 1140 KHDK. When do other teams get to start sniffing around and grabbing these kids?